The title of my message is Finding Your Place Again. You know, in the month of July, Pastor Shola declared it as our month of divine positioning. And during this period, Pastor Shola thought on various things. He talked about occupy your position, finding the place, winning the battles of life, position for greatness. You know, like I said, we don't have a theme for the month of August, but I would just do a continuation in the line of positioning, as it were. So I will just pick one of the previous teachings of Pastor Shola, which I think is very, all his teachings always amazes me anyway, because for someone to come here Sunday after Sunday and to deliver the accurate word of God is selflessness. You know, ordinary putting these few seconds of message together, I know what it took from me. And I, my wife was there. I said to my wife, man, pastors are trying. That's why I'm not called to be one. God. Man, business is easy. No, compared to pastoring, business is easy. Because this one, you have to say, God, I mustn't make a mistake. Holy Ghost. Business, if we make a mistake, we say, okay, let's just look for how to adjust it. But this is the lives of men we're talking about. And every Sunday, pastor comes here and giving the word of life. Put your hands together for our pastor. Honestly. Honestly, it is amazing. It is not an easy thing. If you don't believe me, go and start your church. Honestly, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just go and start your church. I'm sure people will come and people will be able to tell you the truth. That, pastor, are you sure? Are you sure you are doing, is it money? Don't worry, we will raise offering for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm going to just take one of that the teachings of the month of July, and I'm just going to add on to it. It's fully loaded on its own, but I just want to put a spin to it. Now, Pastor Shola, the message I'm going to use is finding the place. So I'm going to encourage you, if you are not in church on the 15th of July, to please go to our website. Amen? Go to the website. I'm encouraging you, go to the website and listen to it. All you need is a broadband, and I'm sure you all have. Click on it, and the message you will hear for free. It is a brilliant message. Now, in that particular message, Pastor Shola made a declaration, or he made a sentence. It says that there is a place for everyone. There is a place for everyone. Whether it's physical, which is geographical, emotional, financial, or functional, there is a place for everyone. Then he explained that when you find that place, the place mentioned by God for you, that there you will be guaranteed success. It is not negotiable. You will be guaranteed success in your place. Now, he also said, and I need to put this very quickly, guarantee of success does not mean you will not face challenges. But it means that you will overcome all challenges, and whilst you're going through those challenges, you will be fulfilled as a person. The devil will not be able to take away from you, but rather you will grow and be stronger, and you will come out whiter, if I can use that word. You should come out purer, shining like a bright light. However, he also said something, which is, I'm just going to put it. He said, when you're out of this place, you will struggle. You will face challenges. You will pray and pray and pray. You will declare, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You will lose the heavenlies. You will release the angels. You will do everything. That devil will be confused and say, what do you want? Do you want us to come or do you want us to go? Do you want to bind us? Do you want us to lose us? Because you are out of place, you begin to face mighty challenges, and you lose the benefits of that place. And Pastor said some of the benefits of the place when he was talking about Ruth. I'll just pick three, because he said something about provision. He said when, and he used the example of Ruth. He said when Ruth found her place in Boaz's field, that she found all she needed. She ate, And she was able to have abundance to take to her mother-in-law. In your place, God has guaranteed your provision. You won't need to beg. David said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He also said something. He said, you will find favor. In your place, you will be favored. People won't run away from you. People will love to be near you. The Bible says, using Ruth again, he was talking about, he said, Boaz called his men servants and said, make sure you leave things for her to pick. Yeah, make sure. Don't take everything. Leave for her. That is favor. And then he said one other thing. He said, when you find your place, you will enter into your rightful position. Eventually, the same Ruth became the wife of a landowner, the wife of an elder, and the grandparent in the lineage of David that became the line of Jesus. You get into your good position when you find your place in Jesus' name. However, like I said, when you don't find your place, we will struggle. And today, unfortunately, many of us are struggling because we have either come out of our place or you have made choices that has taken us away from our place. Your place, my place. It is very important for us to know this. Many of us have made wrong decisions. Many of us have made decisions that has changed the course of our life. Many of us, we are now experiencing some challenges, some difficulties, not because of the devil, unfortunately, but because we are out of our place. Because we're out of our place. What we will do this morning, very briefly, I'm not going to go into lengthy discourse, but I believe that God will share what he wants to share. Remember the topic of title of my of our meditation today? Finding your place again. If you want to give it another, to make it easy to remember, just say the second chance. The second chance. Finding your place again. The second chance. Now, we're going to just go through a few people in the Bible and, you know, see what we can learn from their lives and everything. So this is the text for our message today. Let's just read the text. Let's open very quickly to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'll read from verse 31. Romans 8, 31. That's the text for our message today. So I read from verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God today, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'll leave it there. Proverbs 23:18. I'd like us to read this as I continue. Proverbs 23:18. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Let us turn to Jonah. Now we're going to take four characters in the Bible. Please open your hearts and let's just go through and see what we can learn from them. We're going to take four characters in the Bible. The man called Jonah. Now, when we read some of the verses, I'm going to say my message is going to be like a storytelling. So if I add some, don't worry, I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm just emblemishing it so we can understand for this 21st century funky generation. You know what I mean? So I'm going to just add a few things, especially as we have young people with us. So we can just, you know, you get what I mean? As we're going to look at the lives of some people, let's start with the man called Jonah. So open your Bibles with me to the book of Jonah. Jonah is after the New Testament, is after Revelation. For those of you that have paper Bible, just go to the book of Revelation. Jonah is the next book after Revelation. For those of you that use computer, you don't need me to tell you, just type Jonah. Amen? I was joking. If you go to Revelation, it's not there. Jonah chapter 1. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, sleepyhead? You're sleeping. Arise, call upon thy God. If it so be that God will think upon us, that we may perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. This is, as they will say, where I come from. This is not by I. You know, it's Yoruba, but I don't know how to say it. They say it's something. It's not ordinary eye. That's it. It's not ordinary eye. This thing is not. It's not ordinary eye. There's something going on. Ah, this wind. We've been taking this same route every day, every month. But this today. The ship, we threw everything, we've done all our skill. This is not ordinary eye. Somebody, somewhere. Eh, what did you do? Mommy, what? Begin to say, who in the village? Hey, who is sending something? He said, it is not ordinary eye. Let us cast lots. And the Bible says, then they said unto him, that so they cast lots. And the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, what have you done? Eh? What have you done? Who did you kill? Who did you steal? What did you do? Then he did not even answer them all those. He just said, tell us, what have you done? What is thy this? What is your occupation? He said, then he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the God, listen to this. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. I said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto you, that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was very angry. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Let us leave it there. Let's jump to verse 17. No, let's verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from all her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made a vow that there's a God. When I get back home, I'm going to kill 5 chickens, because that's the kind of sacrifices they knew how to do in those days. Or when I get to church, I'm going to give a testimony. Or when I get, I'm going to give £1,000 offering. So please make those vows now. You can write it in the name of King Scott Chapel, Mr. Rotimi. I know what to do. Hallelujah. Don't worry, just joking. Said verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, let's just quickly use this story. This is how we're going to go through the entire service. Jonah, he knew his place. Because he said, I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the God who made heaven and earth. Now, in verse 1, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to him and said, go where? Go to where? Nineveh. There was a particular place that God wanted him to go for a reason. But Jonah, for whatever reason, because if you read the entire Jonah, you will know why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He said he knows God is compassionate. God will forgive them anyway. So why am I going there? So he made a decision not to go, particularly as he didn't like those people anyway, because from history, they had already fought against Israel and killed them. So he wanted God to be revenge on them. But God says, for this reason, when you read your Bible, for God so loved the world. So God had compassion on the souls anyway. But Jonah said, I'm not going. So Jonah, through anger, being vengeful, decided not to go to Nineveh. And in so doing, he disobeyed God and went to Tarshish. Now, how many of us have disobeyed God? God has told us something specifically. But because of fear, because of anger, you know, sometimes we have quarrels with our missus, for those of us that are married. And you know what the Bible says, but you say, on this occasion, God, just this once, or somebody steps on your foot, I'm just giving an example, and you know you should keep your mouth this, but you say, let me give them the peace of my mind. They need to know all these insults must end. Giving you examples. How many of us have disobeyed God? Some people, it's even bigger than that. You know, we disobey God not only by getting upset with our wife. That wife is not supposed to be your wife in the first place. But by the way, it's too late. So don't say I said so. It's too late. There's a song they used to sing, something that they used to use for wedding in Nigeria, that the ring has reached the hand, and that is the end. Are you getting me? So that's the end. But some of you, we disobeyed God in who we married in the first place. You knew. You see, I'm talking about different levels. We'll get to all of us. We'll reach all of us. You know, you knew, but you said, man, it is better to marry than to burn. The Bible says so. The body is God. You can understand. So I can't wait. I must marry. And God is saying, relax. But he said, so you disobeyed. Yeah, you took that woman. Some of us. Don't worry, I have our email address, and I'm not really talking to anybody in particular. So please, if you're upset with me, just come and tell me after service, and I'll apologize. But as far as I'm here, let me just shoot. Some of us, we came to this country illegally. It is disobedience to the word of God. I'm not saying God is not merciful. We are still coming to that level. But let us say what it is, what it is. You know what I mean? Some of us, our application for the job that we're giving testimony about, we know what we said and what we did, and what we didn't do that we said we do. We know. And for those that are still in uni and in high school, as a college, I don't know the difference in this place, but those of you that are of the age that you have crushes. The person you are crushing on, you know that you are not supposed to be crushing. You know. So when you are going to school, your daddy and mommy says, where are you going to say, I just go around the corner, I just have something to study. Because we are Africans and you are British, like you don't understand. You know. You see, the more you hear the word of God, you know this thing. You have something called conscience. You know. But you decide to go down to Tarshish. Like Jonah, I'm just giving us, let's not talk about prophets. Let's talk, we know. Like Jonah, most of us are also disobedient. Let's jump to Abraham, the father of faith. Genesis chapter 12. And I will read. Keeping an eye on our time, but I'll read very quickly because I think I have to go this way. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 20, I read. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down down to Joppa, down into Egypt, to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a pretty babe. You know, you are a pretty babe, tap in all the ways. Or as they will say, set in all thy ways, like thy father God. Said, therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see you, that and they shall say, this is his wife, they will kill me, but they will save thee alive, because thou art set in all thy ways. He said, say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me, for your sake, and my soul shall live because of you. And it came to pass that when Abraham was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was really set in all her ways. And the princes went to Pharaoh and said, man, there's this new babe in town. She's wicked. So Pharaoh said, really? I mean, verse 15, by the way. He said, really? And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. You know, he sent for her. I said, let me see this babe. He threw a dinner party and invited her over. And then he saw her and said, you know what? Let's give you sheep and goats for this babe. And Abraham said, no problem. So he took it. And he didn't say a word. But Jesus is good. Verse 17. And the Lord plagued the house of Pharaoh with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So Pharaoh too knew something. He said, this is not by eye. This is not ordinary eye. Ever since this woman came into my house, everybody is sick. Everything. Everybody is having diarrhea. Every day, typhoid. What? This is not by eye. What have I done? This is not ordinary eye. So what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh, I'm sure, consulted with the people that he consults with. They used to call them Oracle. Not the new Oracle they use for software, but Oracle. And he says, and then they told him, and then Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is it that thou hast done to me? Why did you tell me this is your wife? And why said she's your sister? I might have taken her and I have, you know, done the business. If I do the do, man. And then she said, I might have twins. And then she said, and he said, you should just take your thing and go. Go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. And they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Leave. Just go. They sent him out of the whole of Egypt. Not from neighborhood. Immigration. Border immigration. You're laughing. They came to his house and said, 24 hours. We will charter private plane for you. Just out of Britain today. So that's what they did. They drove him out of Egypt. Verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1. Said, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Many of us are like Abraham's here. I'll explain. I'm sure you don't know where I'm going to, because none of you have given your wife as your sister. That's not what I'm saying. Why did Abraham go to Egypt in the first place? It was because the famine was severe in the land. And Abraham, because of who he was as a man, he has to provide for his family. He knew, common sense dictated, that if there's no food here and there's food there, what do? You go there. So there's no question in the Bible of the Lord said to Abraham or Abraham asked the Lord. Nothing. He just used logic, common sense, and he picked up his family and went down to Egypt. Many of us have done things based on common sense and logics, and it has gotten us to where we are today. We think we know it. We are knowledgeable.
We put two and two together to get four, but it doesn't come out to four, it comes to six. We explain that logic, I'm 37 now. I'll soon reach menopause. So, a young man is not saved. I know he still has some small issues, but at least he comes to church once in 6 months. The Lord can change him. The Lord will change him. It is our prayer. It is our prayer. So let us marry, and God will do stuff. Logic, common sense. Some of us, we look at it and say, IT is booming. What I'm doing is not working. Common sense. I like IT. Let me put my energy into IT. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Common sense. Many of us, you know, some of us are in a job right now, but you say it's not challenging. It's not challenging. So you send your CV out. I need a change. I need a challenge. I need to be challenged. May you not see challenge in Jesus' name. Many of us have made decisions on our common sense and logics based on what we see, which is what Abraham did. Number three, hold that thought. So I've given you two now. Hold that thought. Number three, let us look at a man called Samson. Turn our Bibles to the book of Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Are we getting something? Okay. Judges chapter 13. And I will read everything. I'll say some story there because of our time. I can see the computer really going fast. Judges chapter 13. And this talks about the birth of Samson. And the children of Israel, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray you, to not drink any wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The wife told the husband, I'll just skip a bit so you can understand. The wife told the husband. The husband said, no, it can't be true. So the husband said, okay, if you say you saw somebody and told that you're going to give birth, and I know we've been in this challenge for a long time. So the husband prayed to God and said, God, let the man that came to tell my wife about that pregnancy, let him come again. The Bible says next time the angel came, and the husband ran to meet the angel. And the angel said exactly the same thing to the man. I think that was in verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I have said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. Now they gave birth to Samson. And the Bible said that from when he was born, you know, he had the ability of God. He was a fine boy like me. Fine boy, no pimples, only dimples. That's all he had. Fresh face. I don't think he was very tall, just like me. He had the extreme package. I'm not sure if he has six pack, but I have one pack, which is good. Everything just add up. So when Samson was growing up, I'm sure all the babies were like, Samson? Like, what's up? We're cool. No, it was the talk of the class. It was the big boy. Everybody wanted to be like Samson because God had already ordained him. So anything he did, he had to prosper. And he had long hair, like me. I used to pack his hair, you know, longer, because no razor has ever come on his hair. So if you can imagine, his hair would be probably like here. All the girls like, oh, Samson. And he just be walking. And then as he was growing, God was giving him before. There was no gym at that time, so they just. The guy was just working. What's up? For a guy to single-handedly take a lion and just tear the lion apart, come on. The guy must have biceps, triceps, hipsteps, everything. And then Samson became, as it were, big boy. So anywhere you went, you heard Samson, Samson. You know, like celebrity Big Brother and all the things they do now, David Beckham, you know, all those, everything. It was the talk of the town that they even heard of him in Philistine. So it was like, man, the babes in this town, they're not on my level. Not my level. So he used to go to Philistines to go and, you know, see the babes. One time, he went to the town, saw one babe. So he said, let me stay late. I don't know what he was doing late, but he stayed late. So the Philistines heard of him and said, let us come and surround the city to kill this guy. Guy, Samson just woke up and said, yeah, I'm going home now. He got to the gate, city gate, you know, Buckingham Palace. Use Buckingham Palace as a, no, Tower of London as an example. Those big, massive gates. That's not even big enough for a city gate. So Samson went to the city gate, said, ah, who locked the door? Did they know I was still, I hadn't gone home. They locked the door. These people are not serious. The Bible said that he put the city gate on his shoulder. Just the whole gate just crumbled. He put it on one shoulder and was strolling with it. What's that? And the Bible said he went miles to punish them and went to drop it in the middle of the desert. I said, you guys, come and pick it up. Can you see how strong that guy is? God was with him. No joke. But something happened to Samson. I will jump there. He just liked women. What's up? He liked women. And the women he liked, they always gave him trouble. He liked bad girls. Like some girls like bad boys. Well, 50p, 50 cent, you know what's up? They don't like nice looking guy. Well, hello, God bless you. They like, what's up? Talking to the young ones now. You know? So Samson just liked the bad girl. And he fell into the hand of what they call Delilah. Look at the name. Delilah sounds sweet, isn't it? you know, it's true. Let me tell you something. If anybody tells you sweet is not sin, if anybody tells you sin or bad things is not sweet, they're lying to you. Let us be real. Those things are sweet, but they can lead you somewhere you don't want to go. But that's where we're going to. Delilah sounds sweet, so you know. So he used to go to Delilah. So Delilah said, man, Samson, what's the cost of your strength? You know, what's up? He said, no, I can't tell you. So he was lying to her every time. But we'll get there. Anyway, Samson kept on going down. Going down. Let us read one part. Chapter 16. And you see what I mean. Chapter 16. I'll read from verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he had showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him that his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, just like Jonah. Wake up, sleepy head. Bible says he awoke out of his sleep and said what? It's me, Samson. I will go out as I did before. And I will, you know, shake myself and blah, blah, blah. But he did not know the Lord had gone from him, departed from him. He said, but the Philistines took him and beated him and nakeded him. And then they didn't stop at that. They said, that your eyes that you're using to look at Delilah. We will take it from you today. So they took his two eyes from him, they plucked it out, the pain. They plucked out his two eyes, and they bound him with fetters of iron, and they told him to be walking as a prisoner in their house. Clean up, Samson. You said God is with you. Come on, clean up, bloody bagger. Come on. That's what they used to say in my military school when I was in school. You know, so they used to beat him up and everything. So you can see where he ended. What made him leave his place in the first place? It was his desires. He made decisions based on his desires. What's that? You know? Man, I feel like taking a smoke. I can't help myself. That babe is fine. I can't help myself. The pastor said in the message, was it last week? Said maximum. Maximum. No matter how tough you are, maximum. Tell them. 30 minutes. Otherwise, you'd be like Usain Bolt that wants to die. Whatever pleasure. That babe, I can't help myself. Oh, that guy is so cute. 30 minutes. Everything will just come like cold water out of your body. But before then, you'll be like hot. You'll be sweating. Young people, you know what I'm saying? But what? 30 minutes. So he just went with his desires. He wanted to drink, he drank. Wanted to smoke, he smoked. Wanted to do whatever he wanted to do, he just did it. So he made choices based on his desires, his feelings. And then went down to Delilah. Praise the Lord. We're all like that. We're all like that. We make decisions based on our feelings. You know, we make decisions based on our feelings. How rich can we, how rich do we want to become? That we want to change the figures, or we want to tell a bit of lie, or, you know, do some contracts, you know, but you get what I mean, for those that are working. And the last one, I'm looking at my time. Prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. Are we getting something? Luke chapter 15, and I read from verse 11. Luke chapter 15. This is the fourth person we're looking at, prodigal son. And I'll quickly draw to a close. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11. Said, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided it unto them his leaving. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there parted his substance away. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, hungry. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and that guy sent him to go and feed pigs. And he would have loved to eat the food of the pigs, but nobody gave him food. And when he had come to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. Well, when did he become like this? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, against heaven and in thy sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Let us pause there. The prodigal son, he was in a hurry, like many of us are in a hurry. He was in haste. This man was clocking 70, 80, 90. His question was, won't you die? You want to live forever? I need to live my own life. I need to be my own man. Many of us have made decisions because we are hasty. Things are not happening in whatever country we came from. We come to the UK. So we do 3 years, 4 years. Things are not... this is not where I should be. My mates, they have speedboats. My mates, they have private jets. Look at me. They are calling billions. When they're calling it, they're calling... And I'm really serious. When I go to Nigeria, they want to turn my head upside down. Because when you see small boys, I say small boys, maybe they are older than me, but when they're talking, it's no longer small money. They're talking bill. I'm like, bill. Billions. Millions. Which is not a... One of them was talking. Said, the guy is 27 years old. So I went to meet him in his office, and we were talking, blah, 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 blah. Business, and he just said to me, he comes to London probably every 3 weeks. So walks in Nigeria, yeah, 3 weeks, comes to London for a week, 3 weeks, you know. So he was telling me that, you know, the way he chills out is that he bought a boat, a speed boat, and he has a house on an island. So I don't know where the island is. So you go a bit, some other companies like Shell, BP, they have houses there. So that's how he just relaxes on the weekend. So maybe 1 week, the next week, he won't go. Speed boats. And I know I did the calculation in dollars. Speedboat is not a small money. And to go and build a house in an island, I'm like, wow. 20, what are you? 28. Wow. They can make your head begin to spin. That, how old are you? By the way, look at your mate. Look at your mate. I was like, this boy was like that. He was in a hurry, hasty. Give me what belongs to me now. We've made decisions. We have moved from one job to the other because of haste. We have moved because things are not working very well. We have moved from one country to the other because of this. We have moved from one school to the other because we're too much in a hurry. We're too much in a hurry. Yeah? We're too much in a hurry. All these people left their place somehow. But the good news, I'm not here to make you feel sad. Yeah? The good news is this. Finding your place again. Each and every one of them, God restored somehow. may be different. The challenge may eventually have ended, you know. Each and every one of them, God restores somewhere. So please don't look gloomy. What we need to look at today is how did God restore them? And I'm going to finish that very quickly. How did God restore them? Because we are men, we usually lose our place based on one of these decisions we've made in our life. We can't condemn ourselves, and don't let God, the devil, condemn you. Because God is not condemning you, God wants you back. That is why he said, what can separate us from the love of God? What? He's the one that sent Jesus Christ to die for us. We didn't ask for it. We didn't ask for it. So that you have left your place. That's why I say, please, go and listen to the message, all the message of last month. It's very important. But I'm just trying to tell you today that people have left their various places for different reasons. And we are now languishing and struggling. And we think it's the devil. I want to announce to you, it has nothing to do with the devil. It has to do with our decisions and what we have done, or, you know. Amen. But God is a God of second chance. Each and every one of them did something that was fantastic. But we just look at three of those things that they did. What should we do now to enjoy the second chance from God? First of all, every one of them did something. They woke up from their sleep. Jonah went down and was sleeping. The man came to wake him up and said, you're not a serious man. We're about to perish and you're sleeping. Samson, he was sleeping on the laps of Delilah. It was Delilah that woke him up herself. The guy, the prodigal son, Bible says that, and he came to what? Himself. So let me tell you what the definition of sleep. I'll give you just two. Normal definition says a natural periodic state of rest for the mind and body where consciousness is completely or partially lost. The one that I really want us to use. Said a state of inactivity resembling unconsciousness, dormancy, hibernation, or death. When you don't wake up from your sleep, you will continue in that place that you are, not knowing the realities around you. Things are going from bad to worse, and you are still there. You're not, you know, when you wake up from your sleep, what it means is that you face the situation head on. See, many people, when I read this, I realized that, let's use the prodigal son, for example. Okay, let me say this. Waking up is really being aware of where you are. No more pretense. No more let us show for the people. Wear suits and we look good. How are you? Praise the Lord. Everything okay? Bless the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you cannot believe the Lord. But before you believe the Lord, you need to know where you are to believe the Lord for. You need to know where you really are. The prodigal son said, what am I doing here? Bible says he came to himself. We all need to come to ourselves. Sometimes, people will come and help us to come to ourselves. They will talk to us, like they say where I come from. They use words to hit your head. They will tell you that this is not you. This is not you. This is a shadow of yourself. You can do better than this. Please, do not be angry with them. Do not be angry with them and say, who do you think you're talking to? Who are you? Because I let you into some of my secrets. Because I let you into my challenges. Is that why you are talking to me like this? You need to wake up. That is why God is allowing them to wake you up. Because if you don't, the challenge will kill you. And then when you get to heaven, God will be upset. Because he has much more than this for you. But you allowed the little thing to affect it. You allowed not being there. No more excuses. Prodigal son came to his senses. We need to admit the problems in our marriage right now. You know, when you're having issues with your spouse, don't say it is well. God will do it. What is the problem? And then work it out. Your finances. If you're near bankruptcy right now, there's no shame. Even the billionaire, so many billionaires, something Daniels, I forgot. Peter Daniels of Australia, the guy that owns a bank. He was bankrupt twice or three times. Is it twice or three times? Twice he was bankrupt. Today he's not. He owns banks, or he owes plenty of money, and he was bankrupt before. So it's not a shame. You need to know where we are to be able to solve the problem. Wake up. The first thing is for you to assess where you are. Really are. Where have I made mistakes? What choices have I made that has brought me to this point? God. Once you've done that, then we do the second thing. Be humble enough to go to God in prayer. Jonah, I don't know. He spent 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish. But chapter 2 said he then began to pray to the Lord. Chapter 2 says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. My question, I don't know whether he should have stayed 3 days in the belly of the fish. I don't know whether he prayed on the first day, second day, or third day. But did he not come out? Wait, did he not come out? He came out. Samson, with all the moves he carried out, he drank beer, he drank wine, he drank champagne, he drank Cristal, he drank everything he could drink. And the Bible said, the angel said in the very beginning, that you are separated. Tell him he mustn't cut his hair, he mustn't drink wine, he mustn't drink strong alcohol, he mustn't carry babes. Everything the angel said, God said you shouldn't do, he did. But still, at the end, in Judges chapter 18, the Bible says that he held on to the stones and he cried unto the Lord and said, God, if you shall for one more time give him my strength, one more time. And the Bible says God gave him the strength, and in death, he killed more than when he was alive. Although he died with them, but you can see the kind of heart God has concerning you. Never, let's use this guy, David. You know, I was looking at it and I thought about David. David is my guy. David is my guy. David, he was taking, you know, was taking a walk on his palace. And I saw a babe. I don't know what the babe was doing there, taking a bath in the open. And the babe was taking the bath in the open, and the babe's name was Bathsheba. And David was just walking the day, the time the kings go for war. He was just walking on the, I just saw this, oh, sizzling. So he called his advisor and said, who's that? Oh, that's the wife of one of your warriors. Say, really? Call her, let me talk to her. Let me just see how she is, if she's not missing her husband too much. So Bathsheba came. And then while he was counseling her, you know, he changed direction. And something happened. Bathsheba became pregnant. So David was embarrassed. He said, aye! So David became a murderer. He told them to go and kill the husband. Then the Bible says that God sent Nathan, the prophet, to him. And he came to him, and David was so sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 2. David was so sorry because he had killed somebody. And the Bible said he fasted and he prayed. But God was upset with him. So the child died. Said, and then if you read Psalm 51, you'll see what David said. David said, cleanse me, O God. Against you only have I sinned, not anybody. He prayed unto the gods. Why? God said, you're a man after my heart. He knew how to come back to the place. He knelt down and said, God, we have made mistakes. We have messed up. Bad. But Lord, you are a merciful God. There is none like you. You are Jehovah Jireh. Your mercy and your grace is what has kept me. If not for you, where will I be? You are my God. You can't kill me. Because I won't be able to worship you, and I want to worship you. Lord, we are sorry. Eh? Me and my generation, we are sorry. Generation yet unborn, we are sorry. And the Bible says that God, after the child died, let me read this interesting thing to you. 1 Samuel chapter 2. No, it just blew my mind. 1 Samuel chapter 2. No, chapter, let's go there. 1 Samuel. My time is ticking down. 1 Samuel. After Judges. No, what am I saying? 2 Samuel, sorry. 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Now, after the son, the child had died, after he prayed in Psalm 51, he prayed. The Bible says, and the child died. So David got up and said, you know, the child is dead. There's nothing I can do. So he went to eat. Verse 24. I said, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. This is what tripped me. And the Lord loved him. I just thought to myself, Lord, you know that the relationship, he took somebody else's wife, and now he has a son, but you love the son they have. Look at what God then did to show you that he loved Solomon. Verse 25, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet. David, God sent a name for Solomon to be called. Many of you don't know that Solomon's name is actually Jedediah. God was the one that said, I love this boy. He sent a prophet to go and rename Solomon Jedediah for him's sake. And David just killed somebody and took somebody's wife. But because the guy knows how to be humble and go to God with prayer, many of us are proud. We're like Eli, God forbid. You know what happened to Eli? The Lord said to him about his son in 1 Samuel chapter 2. The sons of Eli, the two sons of Eli, they were sons of prophets. But you see, let me quickly say this for parents. There's nothing you can do about your children for now. As long as you bring them up in the way of the Lord, what they do is up to them. Youth people, we can't chase you. We can't force you. It's your life. You have to become who you're going to become. The same thing happened to Eli's son. At least they were born in the house of the Lord. But they chose to like women. They chose to put their hand in God's sacrifices. But this is where Eli went wrong. And we, parents, please listen to this. The Lord was angry with the sons of Eli and sent a prophet to go and tell Eli that your children are defiling my temple. They are sleeping with women in the temple. They are putting their hand into my own sacrifice. Then Eli called his children and said, boys, you are getting God upset. You are getting God upset. This is not good. Is that what you should do? If you reverence God, you should tell your children, from today, if I see you near the sacrifice, I myself will kill you. And you should get somebody else to come and replace them so they know the seriousness of it. But he left them and said, hey, God is warning you. Then, in chapter 2, God then raised up Samuel, a small boy. And God, the first time God spoke to Samuel, do you know what God told Samuel? God told him that all the things I have said against Eli and his household, I will make sure I do. I will make sure I do. There will be no man from his house that will serve me. All of them will die in poverty. That's a big curse. And Eli knew that because they told him. Then he woke up the next day and called Samuel. I said, Samuel, come. The Lord has spoken to you. What did the Lord say? The Bible says, and I'm going to read it. The Bible says, verse 18, 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is very important. So you know that you cannot afford, whatever you do in this life, you cannot afford to be proud not to go back to God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, when he asked Samuel, don't lie to me. Tell me everything God told you. The Bible says, and Samuel told him everything. How God said, I'm going to kill your children. How God said, this is it. God told him, Samuel told him everything, and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, it is the Lord. He is God. Let him do whatever he seems good to him. God forbid. How can you be proud like that? That is God. Whatever he says he will do. What kind of prophet are you? So of you to go and even Ahab, a guy that wasn't a prophet. Ahab, you know the wicked Ahab that married Jezebel. Does anybody have children called Jezebel? Have you ever heard anybody call their children Jezebel? Because he's that wicked that even from that time, all the generation have skipped that name. I've never heard anybody call Jezebel. If you hear anybody, if anybody brings a woman come home, say Jezebel. All the family say, they will call the son. Come. You didn't see anybody else. It's a Jezebel. You are bringing to this. That's why people don't call their children Jezebel. Even Ahab, in 1 Kings 21, that killed Nathan or Naboth because of his vineyard. When God said, I'm going to make sure there's no man that will remain from you. Even Ahab, when Elijah came to tell him, you know what Ahab did? Bible says that he put on sackcloth and went carefully before the Lord. That in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 28 and 29, you know what God said? Bible said, the Lord spoke unto Elijah the Tishbite and said to him, see thou Ahab, how he goes humbly before me, how he humbles himself before me. Because he has done this, I will not bring to pass this wicked, this thing I have said in his lifetime. Even Ahab, how much more Eli? People, for you to get back to the place of abundance, just go and talk to God and say, God, I made this choice by myself. Nobody told me to come to this country illegally. I came. And no excuse. People can abuse me. People can say I'm illegal, I'm migrant. That's their own mouth. Lord, I know. How do you sort me out now? That's what we are talking. Baba, we're not, there's no question. Eh? I know I entered into this by myself. I can't get myself out. That is why you are God. And that's why I'm man. That is why my life is but like this. But you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the one that can change the course of a man. You are the one that can make water flow in the desert. Refresh my life. I can assure you, just the way God did it for Jonah, did it for the prodigal son, did it for Samson, did it for David, did it for Abraham. Because it was after Abraham went back to that altar that him and Lot had quarrel. And Lot separated himself. And then God appeared to Abraham and said, in blessing, I will bless you. All this land that you see, I will give to you. He went back to the place. And he called on the name of the Lord. Then God appeared. Lastly, as we end, and I'd like us to rise up as we pray, make sure that whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, please do it. Take action, no matter what it is, because that will restore you to where you ought to be. Don't need to worry how it's going to be done, but God himself will restore you. I'd like us to pray. Rise up and pray. Nobody knows where you ought to be. Nobody knows where you ought to be but yourself. Nobody knows where you would like to be but yourself. The Bible says that there is, that your expectations shall not be cut short. There is an end, and your expectations shall not be cut short. You know where your expectation is. I'll ask that you begin to open your mouth and pray. Ask the Lord for mercy for whatever decisions or indecisions you have made or not made that has caused you to be where you ought not to be. Whatever job you have taken that you know you shouldn't have taken, but because it looked good at that time, whatever it might be, I don't know what it is. Just begin to ask God for, God, have mercy upon us. Whatever action you might have taken, and whatever girlfriend for the young ones, whatever girlfriend you might have had or boyfriend that you know that you shouldn't have, but because of pressure, just begin to ask the Lord for mercy. For some of us that haven't been hard on our children when we ought to have been, and now they have turned out to be what we don't want them to be, just ask God for mercy. Don't be like Eli. Just ask God for mercy and ask for the life of your children. That God, these ones, they are yours. Whether they like it or not, I am giving them to you. Help us to teach them your way. Begin to pray that God will cause a restoration. He knows. We don't need to know. He knows. He will make your life better. He will make your tomorrow sweeter. He will make your tomorrow brighter. In the name of Jesus, every storm that wants to break the boat of your life, the Lord will cause it to cease as you pray. Every hunger that you are facing, the Lord will cause a change, that a party will be thrown for you. You have enough to even give others. In the name of Jesus, restoration, oh God. Everything that the cankerworm, the caterpillar has eaten, Lord, by your spirit, by your anointing, let there be a restoration, a hundredfold. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we may be slow right now, but you are able to quicken our progress. You are able to sort our life out. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, for you are a true God. The Bible says a contrite heart and a broken spirit, that's all you ask for. Lord, you will not turn back such a man. And Lord, we are such men. We are such people. We know that in our life we have not been perfect. We've gone through our teenage years making various type of foolish mistakes. Now we are where we are. But we say, Father, that end that you have for us, we will enter into it in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that we shall hear a word behind us saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Father, we decree and declare that so shall it be concerning us in the name of Jesus. Father, to you be the glory. Every one of us, oh God, we commit ourselves to you. We say, Lord, do us good. We shall be as examples of believers. Good things only shall be heard concerning us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.